energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Motherfuckers talking at the damn beat. Might just face it when he passes to me. The shittiest wrestling podcast in America, only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now, here's the show.
Oh, man. I hope this is working correctly. It looks like it's recording, doesn't it, Derek?
Yeah, but.
The Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What episode is it? 41?
41, I believe.
Lousy Wrestling Podcast, episode 41. I'm Sean.
And I'm Derek.
And this week, our Twitter topic that won was WCW Halloween Havoc 1999.
I would like to say fuck you to all your Twitter votes.
You didn't like this one.
You killed me with the Disco Inferno.
You didn't like this
match
one, Derek.
At the very opening is all I can say. You guys killed me with the opening.
From the open, you were done on this one.
We'll get there. That's all I can say.
So now I just got back from Pennsylvania literally like an hour ago. I went to Paul's band today, was filming a music video for their song, whatever. Don't Sweat It.
And I was about to say, is their song called Whatever? And then you was like, pause.
Yeah, what? I had to look at what the song was called. Their song, Don't Sweat It. So I went to this video shoot.
See, for a second there, I thought the song was called Whatever, Don't Sweat It. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I thought. Now
I'm going to email them. I'm emailing them their new song title. There was an unsanctioned hardcore match that took place at this music video shoot.
So I got to see a little footage.
I got to see some live wrestling. I picked up comedian Tim Wolfe, a friend of the main show and friend of mine, a friend of ours. I picked him up on the way, so I drove into Warren.
Yeah.
Picked him up. We went to the Warren hot dog shop.
Nice.
Now, remember when me and you went to that TNA show and stopped at that Jib Jab hot
the
dog
Jib
shop?
Jab. Better than Jib Jab?
No, it's like the sister of Jib Jab. It's like almost identical. But
you were like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was
this
awesome.
This is going to be delicious.
Me and him both had, we each had two hot dogs, his with chili and cheese on it. We each had a plate of French fries.
Did you have identical hot dogs?
No, mine were plain. I just put ketchup on them. But then,
it sounded like you were on a lunch day, is all I was saying.
Well, we were. I mean, it was 10:30 a.m.
Did you order for him?
No, I did not order for him. But anyway,
you're glad because when I went to the Jib Jab, he ordered everything for me. I was like, thanks a lot, Sean. my old fucking meal ordered.
No. So, but what I was saying is we each had two hot dogs, fries, and a drink, and it was $11.
Nice. Not bad at all.
Yeah, for two people to eat out there for $11, that's insane. And I paid more in tolls going to and from Pennsylvania.
That's fucked up when you're paying more to drive on a road.
Yeah,
to eat food.
Spent about $20 in tolls almost. It's like $3 to leave Ohio, $7 to get into PA, another $3 to get off, and then it's like $3 and like $1.50. So it's about $15, maybe. Yeah. So it's the tolls add up.
Every year the tolls go up too. Sadly.
Yeah. So So I haven't seen anything that happened on Payback.
Except for the little clips you've seen.
Yeah, except for those little clips, and those clips didn't have any finishes because they want you to go to the network and buy
it.
So
obviously,
you know, it's not the holy shit that was the coolest thing I've ever seen Paige do. I mean, like, I don't even know how to react right now.
So you're saying your cat just got a gold medal?
Yeah, she literally, she got a gold medal in the Olympic hurdle right there. That was fucking insane. Anyway, I'm not even going to try and describe it. It was just crazy. Anyway, so, so I didn't see Payback. I haven't even watched Raw. I heard it was fucking awful, so I dreaded turning it on and just never did. I didn't watch SmackDown either because I heard it was awful. My dad was literally like, they ruined this show with the shakeup. He's like, they took everything that was good on it and put it on Raw and didn't put anything to replace it on SmackDown.
Sadly to say, your dad's
a pretty good analysis of wrestling there.
Kind of right on, you know, I can't say he's 100% wrong.
So, yeah, I didn't really see nothing. I spent my week trying to watch that WCW pay-per-view. It took me about 4 or 5 sittings to get through the whole thing.
Dude, it's sad when your big hit out of both shows is the colognes are no longer called the Shining Stars.
Yeah, they're
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's pretty fucked up when that's like one of my biggest hits of this week. They finally called them the clones, which is a good move on SmackDown.
And then I watched that pay-per-view, and then I also watched WCW Saturday Night from the week before and after the pay-per-view. It's a really well-tread pay-per-view is what, the way Chris Klemm put it. Very much covered. Like, people cover 1999 WCW constantly, you know what I mean? But we're going to, too. but anyway, so, you know, I tried to get into those WCW Saturday nights to kind of get a feel for where the actual company was instead of just doing this bullshit where we're like, oh, the pay-per-view, yeah, fuck Russo, yeah, like, you know what I mean? So I tried to get, like, more of a grasp on what was going on at the time by doing that instead of just reading online. But anyway, you want to give me like a quick rundown of Payback? Like, what was the fucking hits and misses of Payback that just happened? Because people when they listen to this are going to have seen it. I'm probably not even going to turn it on. Should I even watch it? Like, is it worth Payback? Me going back and watching it since I missed it live?
A couple matches are.
Okay.
Like I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
I would definitely watch Austin Aries and Neville. Like, I would watch that another 10 times.
They brought the house down.
I personally think they stole the entire show, even though Jeff Hardy got his tooth knocked out and et cetera and all that. But I think that really stole the show. Like, really, really good match.
That was another thing you showed me was, Jeff Hardy with his tooth completely missing. Like, he looked like me. Like, when he smiled.
You're not Sean Hardy.
No, he's not Jeff Ast, motherfucker.
You're not Sean Hardy.
He can't do a swanton like me, all right?
You're not even to flip.
Oh, twist of fate. Yeah, nobody saw me do the hand signals.
When you do the hoe, you're already blown up.
All I need is a couple weeks on my exercise bike. I'll be all right. I'll be able to take some hoes, man. That was a weird way to phrase that sentence. But anyway, okay, so Jeff Hardy got his tooth knocked out by Sheamus somehow, you said?
Cesaro
kicked him?
Knocked out Hardy's tooth.
Okay, fair.
I was like, damn, Hardy just lost his tooth. Jesus Christ. Jeff's crazy. Uh-huh. I thought at first, you know, when you first see it and you're like, oh, it was spit. You know how I rewound very slowly because I didn't want to fuck up my network like it does and go too far back, and then you're like, oh fuck, now I'm,
and then you can't get back to where you were.
Yeah, because when you hit live, you're somehow farther ahead than you should be, and
you're in the future.
Yeah,
you just fast forward through space and time.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck?
You're actually at WrestleMania 45 at that point.
So I'm like, Jesus Christ, that was really his tooth just got knocked out. I was like, I would be pissed going to the back. Like, this motherfucker just knocked my tooth out.
Yeah.
And this is before fucking Cesaro and Sheamus turned heel.
How many years has he been wrestling? And thankfully, he's never had a fucking wrestling injury or anything like this.
He's not becoming Mick Foley.
You know what I mean?
He's losing teeth for the business.
The only time Jeff Hardy got injured was when he wrecked his fucking dirt bike. You know what I mean? Like, he's never been
injured in the ring, really.
Yeah, so, and this is like his first big injury in the ring is getting a tooth knocked out.
Like, I'm comparing him to Mick Foley. Well, Mick Foley
came through a fucking cell
and lost teeth for the business.
Smacked himself in the face with a chair.
And fucking Hardy took a knee to the face.
Into his nose.
I mean, Foley's was more brutal, yes. I'm not saying it's just right up there with
apples and oranges.
I'm just saying he just lost a tooth for the business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I can only think of one other guy who's done that, and that's Mick Foley.
I'm sure a lot of them got some teeth knocked out. Right, the front two pop right out. I'm sure it's a common thing.
I don't think it would be as common as you would think.
My tooth's missing.
Yeah, but you were talking stupid to someone.
That's not how it happened. Just years of abuse is what happened.
I know it.
That's funny. But anyway, so, what about, is that basically it from Payback? You were telling me about the House of Horrors match.
Another cool thing was...
I saw them, like, beating each other with baby dolls and stuff in a house.
Besides that, another cool thing was I was happy that they didn't open the pay-per-view with the Cruiserweights, and they actually opened up with Owens and Jericho. I thought that was a smart way to actually open up, like have the big build that everyone wants to see right away, you know what I'm saying? And that was a good way to...
And so Owens that was a big is hit. Staying on Raw.
Owens is on SmackDown.
No, Owens is on SmackDown, and now Jericho is too with the title.
Now that he won the title, yes. Okay. So, I mean, so we kind of like pretty much figured that out. Mm-hmm. Like, we were like, it'd be smart for him to go to SmackDown because I think SmackDown is a better brand.
And the Intercontinental title already switched over, didn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, you knew it was...
And...
Oh, well, no matter what, it would have been on SmackDown.
Well,
never mind.
Well, we also speculated that Jericho might not go to SmackDown because of the Fozzy tour and stuff like that, so he might lose and be off television for a while. Now he just won the title back.
Yeah, and they completely took out our fantasy booking from 2 weeks ago when we were talking about how they do the title switch to Bray and he takes it to Raw and Brock Lesnar shows up on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's not happening whatsoever.
No. You know,
WWE title staying on SmackDown with the weak ass roster, and Raw's gonna stay with the Universal title that they haven't had on TV since WrestleMania.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So
that's why their ratings are hitting.
Yeah. So going into the whole Randy House of Horrors,
I was about to say not that the champion. Let me clarify that. Not that the champion has to be on every week. But at least you can do promo packages. You
at
can
least
do,
have Heyman there. You do anything.
Like, people say that, like, well, Hawk didn't wrestle every week. No, Hawk didn't wrestle every week, but every week
he didn't wrestle every damn week because...
Every week he did.
He
Let
was
me tell you
a whiny little bitch. And, it, brother, I wanted fucking time off, brother.
He still had video promos.
He had to
shoot
his steroids, brother.
Every episode of WWF Superstars had fucking him doing a promo. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. At least have Heyman or someone there, you know, acknowledge.
Not even, you don't even have to be there. It could just be a fucking
video package.
Like, yeah. Just
that's what I'm saying. Heyman or him or whatever it may be.
They could do anything with that, with Brock being away. Do whatever the fuck you want, and it'd be fine.
But, yeah, the House of Horrors, it was broken up into two parts.
Mm-hmm. Like the backlot brawl from WrestleMania 12.
And, like I was saying earlier.
So what, they stumbled into the arena in the second part? I saw clips of the first part.
Well, at the end of the first part, Bray gets in a limo and he's like, take me to the arena.
He gets in a limo. Bray takes limos?
All right. So Randy Orton gets there in a limo at this house. He walks in. He sees Bray. They start battling inside a house. It completely reminded me of, I think, the Hardy
Randy
Boys.
Took a limo there? Like, what's...
Yeah. Took a limo to the House of Horrors where they got. He goes.
Why the fuck would Vince McMahon book that?
Listen, the same way that
he's a goddamn wrestler.
No, they were like,
he's gonna wear fucking trunks and get in a goddamn limo.
No, Randy was not in trunks.
Okay, he
was. It was like
a fucking vest.
Not in a vest. He was shirtless, you know, but he still had his slacks, jeans, or whatever it may be been on. They look more like Dickies to me, honestly. And they get in there. They start fighting in this house. And my first thought was Final Deletion. The Hardy Boys definitely teamed up with Vince McMahon on this fucking House of Horrors here. They're like, we're going to do the Final Deletion, but WWE style, Vince. And this is what we're going to do.
They didn't even do that. Dude, nobody jumped off a fiery mound or nothing.
It looked like Lucha Underground Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but without
movie
the-
wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay, at the very beginning, and I was lost and confused. Well, how that first part ended was Bray took a refrigerator and tossed it onto Randy Orton. He, like, knocked it over on him. My first thought was, where the fuck did Randy go? Because Randy was definitely laying horizontal, and the refrigerator landed on him, like, Mm. Oh, you cut everything out.
What did I do?
No mic, bad. Nothing.
Mine's working. So it's your headphone cord.
It's just mine.
It's your headphone cord, yeah.
So,
You got it back?
No.
You don't have headphones
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, but I'm cutting in and out, but I don't really care.
Because I'm touching it.
Maybe yeah, you're just fucking it up even worse.
Is it good now?
Yeah, I was just going to talk right through it and be like, oh, I can talk right through
I
it.
I hear everything fine, yeah, so, yeah. So I wanted to figure it out for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But how the first segment ended was, like I was saying, the refrigerator landed on Randy. Mm-hmm. He completely disappears. And I'm like, where the fuck Randy go? My first thought, because you don't see his feet. You don't see nothing. You just see a blank spot. Like, where did Randy go? Mm-hmm. Okay. Poor ending to this shitty ass movie wrestling at the very beginning. And then part two is when you've seen a little bit from the little recap that you've seen that they're in the arena and whatnot. And Bray comes out and they're thinking, oh, Randy's trapped under a fucking refrigerator. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he's fucking not. Like, they showed the picture and Randy's not fucking there. What the fuck are you talking about, dumb motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Like, he's not trapped.
They're selling it like Tony Schiavone in Halloween Havoc 1999.
Oh, clear as day, dude.
I can't wait to get to some of Tony's calls and this shit. It's so funny.
But I'm thinking myself, like, okay, Bray's going to come out. The lights come on. Here's going to be Randy. Boom. RKO. End of match. Mm-hmm. No, they did a fucking stare down when he comes in. Ray, like, oh, shit. Get in. And then they start wrestling around. I'm like, all right. Then the Singh brothers from SmackDown get involved.
Are they the Bollywood boys?
No, they've repackaged them to the Singh brothers.
They're not the Bollywood boys anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I called them originally, but now they've officially been repackaged as the Singh brothers. They come out, attack Randy, jump him from behind. Randy fends him off, fucking hits one with his little patent off the turnbuckle into his little quick power slam. Mm-hmm. Gets up and hits Bray with an RKO right after that. Out of nowhere, here comes Jinder Mahal with the title, since he took the title on SmackDown, since we didn't talk about SmackDown really. And got the title, hits Bray with it, knocks him out. Bray gets up, hits Randy with Sister Abigail. 1, 2, 3. Jinder leaves with the title again, which was really good finish, because I wasn't expecting, you know, Jinder Mahal to interfere, because that's a SmackDown thing.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see SmackDown using Raw's pay-per-view to
further their angle,
since it's for the title and whatnot, and give it more solidification rather than Bray and Randy. So
Randy lost because of Jinder, basically?
Yeah, so it's kind of nice, even though this match wasn't for the title.
And you're putting Jinder in front of more eyes, and
so it's actually smart booking, and this is a major hit for me, because I was thinking a couple weeks ago, if they give Jinder, like I said, a good heel push, he could be their best heel they have right now on SmackDown, because you don't really have too many better heels that are foreign like that, who can get that whole
non-American
foreign thing. Like, Kevin Owens is a for sure easy get over. Everyone's going to like him being a bad guy. People are really not going to like Jinder Mahal being a bad guy because of him being foreign to begin with. So they can get that whole heat on him easily, and he'd be good for the company in SmackDown right now, since they're really trying to figure out what they have with the whole shakeup.
I like Jinder. He hasn't done too much, but he hasn't done too little.
Exactly.
So we'll see.
He's not. You got to give him a chance.
Anything other than the light up jacket on Raw you want to hit me real quick before we take a break and then come back for WCW?
You want to talk a little bit about the Braun Strowman destroying Roman Reigns?
That was like 2 weeks ago.
For Payback.
They did it today.
Yeah, and
I didn't watch Payback, so I have no idea.
All right, and that
so we'll talk about this before we take a break.
That was the main event.
Was Braun and Roman?
Braun
and
Roman
back,
and pretty much Braun beat down Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the entire match, I felt. I mean, Roman got a couple Superman punches in and whatnot, but what shocked me was I didn't expect, since they had been playing up Roman's injury, I didn't expect him to kick out of one power slam at Braun's finisher, and he actually kicked out of one power slam. I was like, wow, they're actually going to let him kick out and not sell the whole rib injury that bad, because he's not, obviously, if it was severe, he's really going to kick out, you know, and then they hit him with the second one, and then the finish was even better than anything.
Okay. They broke the ring.
No, hell no. So Braun gets out of the ring and shit like that. Go gets the steel steps. Crowd starts chanting "Thank you, Roman." Once he gets the steel steps in the ring, and he picks them up.
So they actually slams them on the steps. They actually like Roman here.
No, they like fucking Strowman.
Thank you, Strowman.
Thank you, Strowman. Yeah,
you said Roman.
Oh, my bad.
Gotcha. I'm with you. I was about to say, Dan, they got into Roman?
No, hell no.
They finally got him over. It took his brother dying for him to get over.
Hell no. It won't even take that to get him over. His whole family
could die
his
whole, and he won't be
his
over.
His whole family could die and he would never get over it. That's how bad it is. Yeah, it is fucked up. I'm just saying, they'll never get this guy over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he slams him on the fucking steel steps. First time, shitty. Hands hit, no major damage. Second time, Roman's laying there back on the thing. Fucking Strowman picks up the steps and fucking slams the fucking steel steps in his rib.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have him coughing up blood. I noticed they haven't done that in a long time. Roman?
They did it a couple years ago with Roman. They did it a couple years ago with Roman, maybe a year and a half, and it was like so bad that you could see Tom Phillips hand the fucking blood pill to him, and he's stuffing his mouth, and then he went through a table and started bleeding from the mouth. It was bad. Like, they had a fan just sitting there, like, filming the
You fucked up, Botchamania
Might
Hardcore.
Might have been Jerry Lawler handed the packet over. So, Botchamania yeah, Hardcore. It's on Botchamania, yeah.
And one final quick hit before we get to the thing. Your girl Bailey lost the title.
Yeah, you did say that.
So that makes Alexa Bliss the first.
But it was coming. They were moving her there. She's the first to have both belts.
And that's I want to say sorry, Charlotte. You're not the first woman to hold both belts. It's Alexa Bliss.
Charlotte's the first to hold Divas and the women's.
But not Raw and
Well, it used to just be women's, and then they split it.
Yeah.
So that's not even the same title that they have now either.
Exactly.
Oh, that shit's fucked up. Oh, God. This is why we stopped doing modern wrestling, because I don't give a fuck anymore about any of that shit. That's funny. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk fucking
Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc 1999. Thank you, Derek.
You're welcome.
I'm like turning on YouTube because I don't have anything else booted up on my phone.
Every breaking wave on the shore tells the next one.
Welcome to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
Boom shakalaka!
Non-stop 2 times a week action
from long range
with your host, me, Chris Clem.
He's on fire!
It's a basketball podcast devoted to the world champion Cleveland Cavaliers. And sometimes the Indians, Browns, or whatever I feel like.
With the sweet finger roll!
Featuring interviews, insightful hard-hitting commentary, characters, and comedy sketches.
Whoa, kaboom!
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. I love this game! Every Monday and Thursday on CavsCast.com or LousyWeatherMedia.com.
All the cool kids are doing it after all. And you want to be cool, don't you? I mean, come on, don't you?
What makes you so aggressive? Are you going to yell at me? You're about to start yelling. I've seen it. About to start yelling in the microphone. You're like, no. You weren't going to yell.
You want me to yell at
you?
No,
you just started to move towards the microphone. I thought you were yelling.
No, I was not yelling. Unless you want me to yell. I mean, I can yell at you.
So we're traveling back to October 24th of 1999, Derek.
October 4th.
October 24th.
24th.
Of 1999. How old would you have been then? 13?
99.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
In October. Your birthday is in February.
February.
You're born, what, 87?
85.
So then you were... 14.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So you were 14. You had pimples all over your face.
No, I did not.
You're draining your balls in every woman you see.
That I was.
You know, it was a different time back then. It was 1999. We were all feeling ourselves a little bit back then.
You was just starting to feel yourself back then at that time.
So, and You know what the number one song was when it was October 24th, 1999?
No.
Santana Smooth.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard the song.
Just like the ocean under the moon.
But I didn't think that was a number one song.
That was, yeah. I was looking up.
I can't picture that being a number one song, though.
When I was looking up like headlines from October 24th, 1999, my favorite headline that stood out was LA Times, my bad. From the Associated Press, October 24th, 1999, Taliban willing to talk to U.S. about bin Laden. The U.S. government maintains that bin Laden masterminded twin bombings of embassies in Kenya and Tanzania.
Twin
bombings. So like,
does that reference anything to Twin Towers?
No, because that happened 2 years later.
But that you're still having the word twin. See, they were hinting back then. Twin.
Taliban then was like, we are ready to solve all these issues with America, including that of Osama bin Laden, but did not elaborate or promise to hand over bin Laden. And the U.S. State Department was like, yeah, we've been in discussion with them over a year. I just thought it was funny that in 1999, like, Bill Clinton, just like poor old Bill Clinton, thought that they were going to be able to just extradite bin Laden to the United States to stand trial. You know what I mean? Like,
Did he know a couple years later.
A couple years later, we'd be overthrowing the Taliban and then spending another 9 years finding Osama bin Laden before a black guy got him. Yeah, Barack Obama himself climbed through the tunnels with a knife in his mouth like Rambo. Fucking slit the fucking jugular of bin Laden.
He went through the Lemmy Winks.
Pretty much, yeah. The event was Halloween Havoc 1999. This was the first pay-per-view for WCW under Vince Russo. So
I'm glad it had a gimmick fucking title.
And it was weird because, like,
what was weird?
The subtle hints to Russo throughout the show. Like, every once in a while,
the guys up north.
It'd be, yeah, those or the writers, the powers that be.
Powers to be.
And all this fucking shit. Like, they hadn't really settled in yet. This is what they were just making people do. And it was going to be more exciting, is what they thought. But they had every wrestler act like they hated it.
And you they were I mean? Eating it up.
They probably did. Yeah.
They're like, this is going to tear down WWE. Pronouns little to none, pile. They're Vince killing Russo. Us. Yes.
Okay, so.
He's not cool enough to have a name.
So. I didn't even write down... Oh, my God, what did I just do?
Everything.
I didn't even write down information for the first two matches because the why. I can tell you everything off top of the dome. So the show opened up with Disco Inferno and Lash LaRue, which may have...
Like I said, this was going to be a long pay-per-view.
When Lash LaRue came out, I was like...
Who the fuck is this? Is what I said.
Well, I remember.
You gotta remember. I stopped watching WWE, WCW.
Me too. Yeah. So this was my first time watching this event, and I remember Lash LaRue's name, but I didn't remember like the Raging Cajun.
He should have. When I heard that, I thought they were going to be like the Raging Cajun Gambit. I was expecting something like that. I was expecting his fucking Marvel fucking Gambit come out and shit.
So, yeah, the Raging Cajun I wasn't really ready for, but we got it. And
you got it.
Wow, they were missing everything. There's a point where Lash LaRue goes for like a head scissors and just power bombs himself, and then fucking Disco just front flips onto his back anyway. Like, it was completely. They're on opposite sides of the ring. By the
I don't know how these guys had a job after this night. Like, for real.
It's funny because it made me.
I seen this shit and I was like, if I was the guy, I was like. Fired
like,
after the
I'll
movie.
I'll listen to Conan's podcast, and Disco's one of his co-hosts, and now like every time I hear Disco ever talk shit about a wrestler ever again, I'm just gonna be like, no pal,
you suck.
Like, he because he'll talk shit on people's punches and shit, and I'm like, your punches look like dick in this match.
Okay, my niece has a better punch than you.
Yeah, those were bad. This whole thing was bad.
What he was wearing was terrible to begin with.
And fucking and Tony Schiavone's like, this is the new WCW. And it's like, yeah, this is the new WCW.
I said, this is why I watch fucking WWF instantly.
So anyway,
dude, it didn't even get a match rating from me.
Who even won it? I forget who wins. Disco won it in about five minutes.
I didn't care about this match so bad, I didn't even circle the winner. And I'm not even fucking joking.
I'm opening the Wikipedia now so I can just run down the card.
I'm pretty sure Disco Inferno won and kept his title.
Yeah, yes, yeah. He's the
because the guy he was wrestling, I didn't fucking know. So
yeah, he's the cruiserweight champion in this match. I forgot to mention that going in.
Yes, it was for the cruiserweight title.
So yeah, just
thank God Payback didn't have the cruiserweight title tonight, or I'd been like at least fucking.
You think about the days of fucking the cruiserweight like heights of Ray and Dean and all these guys opening
to
matches.
Disco Inferno and who the fuck?
Lash LaRue. They actually gave that match
Gambit
seven and a half minutes. That was
he wrestled Gambit.
I can't believe they gave that match 7.5 minutes. Vince Russo and Disco are good friends though, so whatever.
that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so there's a vacant tag team titles too.
This Ray got injured.
This made absolutely no sense because okay, the title's vacant, but
why did Conan and Kidman come out wearing them?
Yeah.
I seen that shit and I was like, so.
And why did Kidman have the video camera? Like that gimmick was Six's 2 years earlier, 3 years earlier. You know what I mean? X-Pac when he was in WCW, the video camera shit, just video camera and everything. So yeah,
I noticed it wasn't even turned on.
Not even flashing the red record button.
I was like, okay, poopy.
And Tori Wilson looked straight out of 1999, too, with the fucking...
She looked like she came from Dawson's Creek. It was my first thing.
I was like, oh, there's Spice Girl Tori Wilson, the fucking, like, elephant ear, baggy Tommy Hilfiger jeans. Just cracked me up, dude. But anyway, so Harlem Heat against the Filthy Animals against Brian Knobbs and... What, Hugh Morris? But Brian Knobbs still wore a Nasty Boy shirt, so I was
it
like...
It just said Nasty on it. It didn't say Nasty Boys. It just said Nasty on it. Because I was going to say the same thing. He's still a Nasty Boy, but then I looked closer, and it just said Nasty on it.
Okay, so I didn't even know this was a thing, that Hugh Morris and Brian Knobbs had a tag team. And
that was new to me.
They have a name, too. They're called the First Family.
The First Family with Jimmy Hart. You see them come out with their crazy-looking masks? Yeah, I was like, who the fuck are these guys? Like, and then I see Nasty on thing. I was like, Brian Knobbs? Who's his partner? His partner doesn't even look fat.
It's like, who books this shit?
we know who's writing for this shit.
Yeah, see, that's another thing about this pay-per-view, is there's a lot of stuff that's like where they're just trying to wrap up.
Listen how bad of a match this was. It was a street fight.
Yes.
But the fucking ropes broke a three count.
Yeah.
How the fuck does a ropes break a three count during a street fight, bro?
And then the finish on this match was just stupid. Okay, Schiavone's cracking me up, too.
Dude, I was dying that Jimmy Hart couldn't even get the fucking table from under the thing when they were doing the table spot.
Fucking Schiavone's, like, laughing. He's yelling about how they need to beat somebody with something. I don't remember what it was. It was, like, something. Some, like, popcorn. Or what the fuck did he have? He had, like...
The mummy?
That's what
it was. That was at the end when he hit him with the mummy?
Yeah, he had the mummy, and he
The poor power slam.
He pinned him with his mummy, and there's the pinfall there. Harlem Heat is the winners apparently, but
there's a pinfall in the ring as well.
Yeah, nobody in the audience has video screens because it's WCW '99, and why
being
would they?
Cheap.
And
Vince had video screens.
I know exactly. That's what I'm saying. Why would
they
WCW?
They were being cheap.
So and then. A pinfall happens in the middle of the ring as Booker T and them are coming back. I don't know, with their hands raised. I don't know if this is planned or this was an accident or what the fuck this was.
It was a clusterfuck.
All types of weird. It didn't make any sense. They just yell at the referees and then the referees just give it to Harlem Heat, and Harlem Heat are now six-time champs or whatever the fuck
six-time champs.
But the crowd just didn't give a fuck because they were confused because they literally just watched the Filthy Animals win it in the ring. This whole thing was fucked. It was just so stupid.
Was Conan actually injured during this match?
I don't think so.
Because it appeared...
Because he showed up later on beating up Ric Flair.
Yeah, you're right, he did.
So, okay, now this...
The Rick and David Flair coming in with their little crowbar happened right after
this promo, yeah.
It wasn't even a promo, it was just them walking in. I'm like, God damn.
Oh, yes, they walked into the arena, which, so you have to pay attention to the crowbar thing because it plays into the whole fucking night.
Yes.
And that's a Russo thing.
Which leads to DDP and Kimberly afterwards.
This is what I was going to say before we kept talking about that match, though, was like, this pay-per-view is really weird because there's a lot of angles that were going prior to Russo that are wrapping up here. And then it was like, Russo was like, I'm going to start five angles, bro, with the same person. The same person's doing five angles tonight. Like, it was like, hold on, wait, what?
He's the first fucking Swiss...
And then, which shows, because like you with the Ric Flair thing in this next match. So anyway, now we finally got to some fucking wrestling in this show with Eddie Guerrero versus Perry Saturn.
This match was going to steal the show for sure.
My overall thoughts on it were that was like,
that was my first thought going into the match.
I was like, while watching it a few minutes in, I was like, damn. How underrated of a worker was Perry Saturn?
Because
he was keeping up with Eddie like the entire time.
Killed that match.
Until he started throwing punches. And I was like, oh, well, his punches look like shit. But I was like...
His punches were at least better looking than Disco's.
I'll give him that. But anyway, this match, though, was really good until it gets fucked up at the end. Like, so you get 11 minutes of just... pure great wrestling, and then Ric Flair or whatever came out, and Ric Flair starts beating people with the crowbar. Or
yeah, he beats fucking Eddie Guerrero with the crowbar,
and
because
then,
he stole his watch.
So,
I think
but this is the best part. So Ric Flair comes out, he does that, he disqualifies. The disqualification happens. Eddie Guerrero wins the match technically because Ric Flair came out and beat him up. But then after the match, Rick molests Tori.
She just liked it.
Pure. That's the funny part. It's like and that's in my notes. I'm like, okay, so Rick is molesting Tori Wilson by just making out with her unprecedentedly. And then I'm like, hey, it's okay. She liked it because they did that whole thing where afterwards she's smiling and like still smiling like for a while after it and shit. And it's like, oh, it's okay. He molested women. They like it. Don't worry. I mean, that's what happened.
Pretty much.
But so then Rick goes storming off back to the up the entranceway, like woo woo woo,
and then he comes right back for the watch
because he obviously forgot what fucking angle he had to be working right then.
Because
he's in
different...
five fucking angles.
He's like, wait a minute, brother, I need to get my watch.
So yeah, he woo woo woos right all the way back to Bobby Heenan and fucking gets the watch back from Heenan, but.
Dude, that shit had me dying. I was like, where did Rick go? I thought he came down for the watch to begin with.
Yeah, he fucking just started walking all the way away. And then,
see, my initial thought was, is this when his Alzheimer's started?
Then?
Right then and there.
Like, he wrestled another 9 years. 10 if you include DNA. But yeah, okay, so...
You don't want to include the independent circuit when he left DNA.
So let's keep moving through this. Then we cut backstage really quick.
To Goldberg and Sid.
Yeah, Goldberg is just beating the shit out of Sid. Sid's bleeding from the face, and then he stands up, and Sid just starts yelling, "Is that all you got? Is that all you got?" Which you have to pay attention to this, too, because this fucking plays into the whole angle later in the night. If there's one thing you say about Russo, he had something for everybody.
Yeah.
Though he had something for every fucking buddy, even though he shouldn't have had something for... He had five things for
everyone. Which everyone can't do five things.
So then you instantly cut back to the ring where Buff Bagwell comes out.
Who shits on the riders.
And Buff Bagwell's getting cheered here the whole time, too. Like, yeah, he comes out and goes, these guys from New York, I'm not really down with that. And the crowd's like, woo, yeah, because they knew they were about to get shit fucking wrestling too. They didn't want their WCW to be ruined. Like, people, there was
weren't stupid.
There was a reason why people liked WCW and a reason why people liked WWF. Once you started trying to pretend to be the other companies, when you fucked up, especially for WCW, because they had that deep Southern strong WCW roots for a long time. And when they, yeah, and they were bad at it. And this pay-per-view is case in point of how bad it is.
I'm surprised they didn't go bankrupt after this match.
We're bot. I was about to say, we've had a few backstage stuff, but we've had, what, three matches and not one, like, video package pre-match?
Dude, the cool thing about the Buff Bagwell thing was he got laid out by that guitar.
Oh, like, let's get to that. That motherfucker
did not break.
Okay, so Buff Bagwell cuts the promo. He's just cutting down Jeff Jarrett, too.
Which he does come out.
And then Luger, fucking Lex Luger, comes out.
After they're brawling.
And it's funny because Lex Luger, like, hits a security guard on his way around the corner. Like, he cuts the corner too sharp and just, like, almost knocks this fucking dude on his ass.
I was like, damn, lawsuit.
But then he comes into the ring and he's got the fucking guitar like he's going to hit Jeff Jarrett with it. And then fucking what? Jeff Jarrett ducks. And he whacks Buff Bagwell with the neck of the guitar.
I was like, I'm beating that motherfucker's ass afterwards real.
Like, it's a gimmicked guitar. So you hit him with the body, it explodes. Blows. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, it definitely exploded the moment it barely touched that ring post.
It fuck it. Yeah, so he breaks it on the ring post for a visual. Like, okay, yeah, now it's broken.
He's like, it's not fake, guys. Which I do give him credit for that on the ring post.
He fucking donked that dude over there. If you've never, like, felt the neck of a guitar like
it's
that,
it's painful.
That would be the worst feeling thing I could imagine.
I wonder how he felt afterwards. I wonder if he was having a beer with Lex afterwards or having a few words.
Man, God, that hurts. So then they cut back again to Sid
getting stitches.
And Sid's like, let it bleed. Let it bleed.
Dude, his facial expressions were classic, though, dude.
Oh, my God. Sid Vicious. This is peak Sid Vicious
the
work.
The best, yeah.
That's all I kept thinking this whole show.
Prime.
Okay, how many fucking
And then
they
went to
ankles?
Eddie Guerrero on the ground calling back for fucking Ray or whoever.
Yeah, they were cutting through lot of shit.
Come back to the arena.
And then, for some reason, they happened to be able to squeeze this next match in.
Brad Armstrong versus Berlin.
Berlin, the wall.
Once again, this was my bathroom break.
You didn't even watch the match?
I came back and Brad Armstrong already done won.
Brad Armstrong obviously was the best wrestler in the Armstrong family after watching this match. It was like 2 minutes and you could tell. But he was obviously also the dullest, plainest one.
He was the best worker, but he could wrestle
circles around fucking Road Dogg, you know what I mean? But he didn't have the personality like Road Dogg. He could never cut that promo on the way to the ring. You know what I mean?
And the fucked up thing, Road Dogg couldn't even help a brother out.
No.
Give him some charisma, rub him off. And his brother couldn't help the Road Dogg fucking wrestle. So, I guess he was like, fuck you and fuck you.
Berlin, I didn't remember him being so small.
They called him the wall.
Yeah, he was pretty
that
small.
That was the fucking wall.
And he wasn't really in shape.
Okay,
either.
I've only heard Berlin the wall. Never seen this guy. And when I see this scrawny motherfucker, I'm like, I was expecting like Mr. Hughes size motherfucker.
Or Tugboat.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or Earthquake.
I
ended up with the guy who pretty much created the visual look of the Ascension. look at the Ascension, how they look, and look at Berlin.
That's why he was. The Ascension are almost in a little better shape.
That's why.
He's Connor from the Ascension, or whatever that guy's name.
The Ascension is pretty much cut from Berlin.
So Berlin is just awful and weird looking. Was my main impression of the match, and most of the match, the commentators are just selling the like filthy animals. Like, what's Eddie doing? Eddie had to call him for help. What are they gonna do? Well, obviously, he needs to do something. Why did they even leave the arena already? They lost their match and just bounced. Like, fuck it. We gotta call him. We gotta call him to come back. So the announcer is trying to make sense of it. I don't even really know how Armstrong won. He got like hit with a move, and then he just jumped out of nowhere and hit like a drop kick and pinned him, and it was over. And then Berlin attacked him right afterwards.
I missed all that.
Yeah, it was whatever.
I came back and they were just talking about how Armstrong won, and they were already talking about the Chris Benoit versus Rick Steiner match coming up for the.
So TV's yeah, title match. Ric Flair was backstage. This is like his.
I missed that.
This is his fourth time on the show already.
So what angle is he in right now with?
Okay, with
angle.
He's doing Eddie, both of them. He's cutting both of them. He opens it up saying
with Eddie.
No, yeah, he opens with the Eddie. He says, "I'm Ric Flair, baby, come find me." And he's like, "Woo, woo!" And he's like slapping his arms. And then they ask him about Diamond Dallas Page.
Angle number two.
And he's like, "Did the Diamond Dallas thing already happen?"
We skipped over the whole DDP and Kimberly in the ring. That was right after Ric Flair and David came into the ring.
So Ric Flair says that he spanked Kim 14 times, and when he was done spanking her, she was like, "Woo, Nature Boy, woo, Space Mountain," and he like spanked his arms a bunch more times and he
woo,
left.
Daddy.
So I didn't write down the DDP promo. That happened earlier, right?
Yes, which had me thinking about Vince Russo always having people talking about slapping and jacking other men off.
Yeah,
who's really gay? Who's really gay here? You know,
it's
like,
because he thinks wrestling fans are gay. That's what they want to hear about.
He writes for the gay people.
Yeah, exactly. He thinks that us wrestling fans want to hear about Diamond Dallas Page jerking Ric Flair off. Like that's just not leather on leather slapping together.
And he thinks we're gay. That has to be gay just thinking about that.
I did just say it out loud.
Just think about him writing that down. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so
that's his awesome moment.
But anyway, Diamond Dallas came out earlier, and my main thought on this was like, I should have paid more attention to Kimberly Page back in 1999.
Because her nipples were always hard?
And she had pretty nice butt and big boobs. She was pretty hot back then.
Her face wasn't that great, but yeah, I could do with the rest of the body. I just kept looking at the nips. They were constantly and center.
She grabbed them and just like squeezed them and pulled them right before they walked through.
Every
the
time they came out, they're like, "Yeah, we need these bad boys hard."
That's what they do. Strippers do it. Like right before they walk on stage, I always grab their nipples because nipples look better when they're hard. But it does look weird because they have their tits out.
Yeah.
But Kimberly Page doing it, yeah. I don't know if it made her nipples look better hard.
I wonder if DDP busted one out while she was doing it, right before him coming out. Because he
whacked
looked,
and banged him.
Yeah, because they looked a little blown up before just walking out there, you know what I'm saying?
So, anyway, and this was another fucking convoluted thing. We've already paid for the pay-per-view. We're already watching the pay-per-view.
We did not pay for this pay-per-view.
You know what I mean. If it was October 24th, 1999...
We would not be paying for this. I would have been getting the WWF pay-per-view.
We'd been getting
bad blood.
If you're a viewer of it, if you not us, if you're the viewer of this in
I'm sorry you paid your $25.99.
But they just literally booked a match fucking in the middle of the show. We've already paid. We don't need another match. They book Ric Flair versus Diamond Dallas
Page.
That's
a bonus. So I'm happy they're giving me a bonus as a buyer.
You're like, take away a match. You can book this match for the next show as
so you
a booker.
Spend it, so you want to spend an extra $25 on another pay-per-view as a buyer? You would be like, fuck yeah, extra match. As a buyer, since... Even though I didn't buy this,
I would have just loved for some of this fucking shit to make sense. That's all I would have fucking cared about. Okay, did I not write? I must have not have wrote down Rick Steiner versus Benoit.
So,
I watched it.
Questioning myself, is Rick Steiner supposed to be the heel in this match?
I wasn't positive. I don't think because
he had the Scott Steiner look going on with the.
I don't think anybody all night was a babyface or a heel, dude. You had Goldberg versus Sting later on. Like, come on. This whole fucking thing was weird.
Dude, and there was a few hit misses I had. Like, why did the ref give Rick Steiner a 5 count during a submission hold?
like to twice. Like get out of it?
No, he like counted Rick Steiner like a five during, when he had some weird submission hold on Chris Benoit, and the ref kept trying to give him a five count, and Rick Steiner was breaking up like it was an illegal hold, and I'm like, what's illegal about this? It's a submission hold.
Yeah, I must Why not have been paying enough attention to it to fucking, I mean, it was just, I mean, it was Rick Steiner and Chris Benoit. Like,
I mean, they had a better match than I anticipated.
It was 13 minutes, and Rick Steiner was not bad. Yeah,
no, he's a solid wrestler. I mean, he's not the greatest.
And then him and Chris Benoit just kind of beat the shit out of each other.
Really physical, back and forth. Benoit fucked up a sunset flip. Pen combo fucked that up.
And then they kept calling Rick Steiner's clothesline Steiner Liners.
The Steiner Liners. Benoit eats the chair. I took that when he went for the flying headbutt. You see the corner of the fucking chair? So fucking
That's how the match ended, right? So the ref took a ref bump or whatever, and then when he was going for the flying headbutt, Rick Steiner threw the chair up in the air, and it hit him.
And then Malenko comes out.
Yeah, Dean Malenko comes out, the chair. And they're like, who's he going to hit? Which is the same thing they just did with fucking Luger 10 minutes ago. And then
at least they didn't use a guitar.
And then they fucking and he's like, who am I going to hit? Because he's supposed to be partners with Benoit. And he ends up smashing Benoit in the face with it.
And then he goes hugs Saturn, and Saturn's like, thank,
because
says hi to Shane Douglas. And
the story was that they were kicking Perry Saturn out of their group Revolution. But the real thing was they kicked out fucking Chris Benoit. All of this shit. Oh my god, my head
hurts.
And
later,
my head hurts trying to explain these angles for whoever is suffering themselves to listen to us talk about this shit.
Little to know, all three of those guys would come to WWE as fucking
the radicals. With Eddie.
With Eddie.
Who they kicked out of the group.
In the same exact angle.
Or he left the group to join Filthy Animals, or however the fuck that worked. But it worked.
It was the same exact fucking angle.
Oh, man. This whole... We're cooking right along, though. So
now we get to Bret Hart.
This was probably one of my favorite matches on the card.
All I can say is, fuck you, Bret Armstrong.
Uh-huh.
This should have been my bathroom break.
You didn't like this match?
Not at all.
I actually really enjoyed it. That's surprising you didn't like it. My first thought
was like, Jesus, this match could
have
been...
It was the best match I've ever seen Lex Luger have. It was the best match I've ever watched Lex Luger in.
I wish I took
my
bathroom break.
I've never watched him have a better match.
But think about how many times you've seen these guys in WWE wrestle.
Yeah, but that was...
The same exact
match. 7 years earlier. It wasn't that same. It wasn't that much the same. This was different.
What, because Bret Hart tapped out instead of Lex Luger?
See, that's when shit got fucking stupid. So they're having this great match. They're fighting.
Well,
they tumble outside. Like, they like somersault and tumble to the outside, and Luger lands on Bret's leg, so Bret's
injured his leg prior because of Sting. Yeah.
And so his legs hurt, Luger starts working on the leg.
Did Sting injure? No, it was Luger that injured his leg during this match versus Sting prior for the title.
He finally puts Bret in a single leg crab, and
wasn't Earl Hebner.
Well, the guy who taps out people or submits people with the fucking sharpshooter is getting submitted by a single leg crab.
He had a hurt ankle.
A single leg crab.
Let me hit you in your shin
yeah, but
with
I'm not
a bat.
Bret Hart.
I get it. It was stupid. That's why I said fuck you, Bret Armstrong.
Why would they book Bret Hart like this? It was just so stupid. I'm like, what the fuck? And this looked like Elizabeth when she was like just starting.
Straight
her.
Biker whore. She's been rode by fucking. She was the Sunny of WCW, getting rode by every superstar in the back.
I think this is probably the start.
She was
start
not
of
putting
her.
On the lipstick, though.
This is the start of her and
Lex's relationship.
Shawn Michaels loves to put on lipstick or whatever the fuck it was. He likes to watch women put on lipstick while he bangs them. But anyway.
This was the birth of the relationship
with Luger and Elizabeth. Probably,
I think he was already fucking her well before this.
He was fucking her in 1992 as the narcissist.
He was getting his little Luger on.
Oh, God. This was just, so
we... Goldberg interview afterwards.
Yeah, we, I was about to say, we're continuing here. Goldberg's backstage. He says he's paid to, he gets paid to kick ass. And that's what he's there for. And then, they have, they cut back to the arena and Medusa comes out.
Down, modeling the Nitro
this music that's like, bad girls, do the beat. Bad girls.
Like, it sounds like we're in a rave now.
The song. And then, so she comes out in like a little bikini. I didn't remember Medusa being...
good looking?
I mean, I'm,
I didn't think face, she was good looking at all.
I didn't think she was a good looking, but I remember her, what her face looked like. But I didn't remember her having giant tits like that.
That was when she got her implants.
She got giant tits in 1999, and then
like 98.
Yeah. So I,
you said it was weird.
The whole thing was weird. So she comes out to that, the bad girls,
thinking that this was bullshit. She was doing it too.
Yeah, that was the whole gimmick. Was so she comes out.
I thought that was whole, all weird. You could tell
she makes a bunch of puns about the new higher powers, making her be a model in a tiny bikini. Do you like it when I'm in my bikini? Do you like my big blue eyes or whatever the fuck she? My big beautiful. Blue eyes instead of boobs. And then she goes, well, I think it's bullshit, and just starts dumping the clone all over Heenan.
And I thought, poor Heenan, what the fuck did he do? I know, he's just staring at your titties, bitch.
And Shivani's...
you're the one shaking them in front of him.
And Shivani's just laughing. So I was like, it's like, all of this is just fucking weird. What are they trying to sell us on here? Like, and then she struts off. So... They were trying to sell this angle that all these new bosses are coming in and they're just going to make people do wacky shit and the people are supposed to hate it.
And I think it was they like, really hated it.
That's going to make us get into a character. Like, that's really going to make us get into a character. Is
that's
how
make me
going to want
to jump ship real quick.
Yeah, it's how much they fucking don't want to be that character. You know what I mean?
You shouldn't force a character on anyone. Like, that's why people can't get
I was
over.
Literally watching a company die. They should have shut the doors RIP after this event.
Didn't I say that earlier?
They,
Didn't I say that earlier in the show?
They, one thing we haven't mentioned is how bad
the...
moment
I seen the disco match, I was like, this company is dead.
We haven't mentioned how bad the replays and stuff were. Like... just the footage, the slow motion, and just holy shit, those
were
bad.
We were back then. We were like, that was awesome, and now when we're older and looking
at WWF replays weren't that bad in '99.
When I look
now, we're near that bad
in
'99.
Like, Jesus Christ!
WWF replays were about the same as they have now in 1999. This shit was like, this was 1988,
93 fucking pay per view.
Earlier, this is Survivor Series '88 fucking replays, dude. This was bad. All
this is
this
Survivor
was bad.
Series.
The Ritual video, Coliseum. The video packages leading up to the match, like they would just show like a video package or something. Didn't have any effects, music, nothing. It would just be like highlight Nitro, highlight Thunder, highlight Nitro, highlight Thunder, and fucking be done. Like they did not have that.
They done spent all their money.
That's been
on the
like,
outsiders.
That's one you can hate on TNA for this entire time they've been around, but one of the first things they did in the early 2000s was hire David Zahadi, who had done all of the who had done that for WWF from 96 to 2002 or 3. So all those,
so they got 96 through 2002 fucking
video packages video and music. Packages. They're even they used the DX guy for one of the fucking songs the one time and shit. But anyway, David Zahadi's just an amazing
and you
director.
Wonder why they're 10 years behind.
So that's why TNA always they at least had good video packages and production packages and shit. Which WCW did not, they did not have a David Zahadi on their roster at this time, dude. They did not.
They had barely anyone on their roster.
This next fucking thing was just weird. So, okay, she finally leaves, and then they start playing Hulk Hogan's music.
Who I thought was being The Undertaker.
yeah, it was like and taking went, forever. And then no one came out. So then they play Sting music. Sting gets introduced. Sting comes out. Like he's like, okay, I'm out here. And then they play Hogan's music again. And apparently Hogan had gone back to yellow and red previous to Russo coming in, maybe a month or two before.
He's no longer NWO.
Yeah.
He's no longer Hollywood.
So I tried to look at what the fuck was going on with Hogan that this would happen. So Hogan gets in the ring. He says something to Sting, and then he just fucking lays down.
I thought it was Hulk Hogan's best match ever. Seriously.
So he just lays down, and then Sting pins him and gets the title. Now, this would have been...
No, Hogan doesn't get the title. Sting keeps the title.
But this would have been after Finger Poke of Doom. Finger Poke of Doom would have happened at the beginning of this year, which is when... Hogan finger poked Kevin Nash, and Kevin Nash flopped, and they had a 3-second match similar to this. So I didn't pay attention to what happens with Hogan after this event to know if this was a whole angle, like this is what they're like. Hogan,
he was like, "Fuck Hogan this shit, was that, I want to win."
If he legitimately was like, "Fuck Russo and them coming in, I'm leaving," or if he was just like, or if that was like their idea, like. This is our idea to make you look like you hate us. Why don't you take some time off, brother? Bro, take some time off. You know what I mean? Just to get Hogan off their program.
For good. I just thought it was his best match ever.
Yeah, I was about to say... I even wrote it down,
best match ever.
Hogan can be mad about that all he wants.
It's your greatest match.
It was time for him to be off WCW TV.
It was your greatest match.
It was 94-99 of straight Hulk Hogan, but on WCW. But think the fucking 86-94 on WWF TV. So
you had pretty much 10 years of Hulk Hogan.
13 straight.
And how many years of Cena?
Yeah, I mean, Cena's now
you know why I call John Cena Hulk Hogan.
Cena's past that now.
Oh, for sure.
He's at 15 years. But anyway, okay, so Sting keeps his title, 3-second match. And before Sting could even leave the
They're
ring.
They're playing a video package?
They just started running a video package with Sting's music still playing in the background.
I was like, what the fuck? What's going
on
here?
This was so bad. And we're watching on the network version, too. So God only knows how bad this shit actually was.
I seen that shit and I was like, damn, Sting don't even get no camera time.
Nah, they just fucking cut right to this video package. Like, and with Sting's music still fucking playing.
Motherfucker's like, not even out of the ring. He didn't even get the belt, I don't think, to raise it up. And they already went to video
That's package. What he was about to do. And then
to, what,
and then
to raise
they,
it up?
Yeah, then they cut him.
They're like, fuck you, Sting. Man. That makes me seriously wonder, did him and Hogan and Rusev, no, you can't keep my lighter.
I don't know where mine went.
Well, it sucks to be you. If him and Russo and Sting all had some words back there about he didn't want
it.
Yeah,
it could have.
I really want to know the backstory.
To be honest
that.
With you, I think most of this event is just all work.
Is it horseshit?
I mean that shit where everybody's mad about the higher powers. It's all still work because they've only been there a couple weeks. Ain't nobody could have that much of an opinion. Because at that time...
After 2 weeks?
But at that
have
time...
Have you listened to his podcast? One podcast, you already have an opinion.
But at that time, they thought he was the savior of WWF. They thought
the company
he was,
did, but not the wrestlers.
They thought he was the reason why fucking they took over.
No.
People believed that in 1999. They did.
Vince McMahon was the reason.
It didn't take very long for Russo to show everybody that that's not why. But it's
Vince McMahon's the reason why. He just had these dumb motherfuckers ideas.
Bro, so they throw a bunch of money at me and then they tell me that I can't do what they told me to do, bro.
No, you just suck.
If I could have had flying fucking nuns sucking dicks on a fucking crosswalk, and bro, then we would have had a 7.0 rating, bro.
No, he would not.
I would have taken it from a 3 to a 7, bro, with cock sucking flying nuns on sidewalks.
Then why didn't he have that?
Man. So anyway, the video package was for Sid and Goldberg. Definitely not a David Zahadi production. Sid is the Millennial Man. That was his gimmick or phrase or whatever the fuck.
I thought it was stupid.
The Millennial Man
the
name?
The Millennial.
He's a Millennial Man.
I didn't like it.
So Sid came out first.
And he was still bloody from the... And I was yeah, like...
He had the wound and he had dry blood. But
and
so
his hair
you,
and stuff like that.
You knew
like,
this.
Like,
you knew good. That was going to get opened up heavy.
Oh, I was like, yes.
So then they cut to the backstage so they could do the classic Goldberg entrance. And my favorite part about it was...
Did he shut the door and then opened it?
Yeah, because the door was open. So he fucking... was probably trying to amp himself up, not knowing the door was open, and fucking hit it, and so he ended up shutting it. Or he was like, oh, the door's supposed to be shut, and just shut it real quick,
and then
opened
it.
Like,
I was,
like when, he wasn't on live TV, like, we're live, pal. Like,
I was expecting for him to do a second knock. When he shut the door, yeah. I was expecting for it, but it didn't happen. He just opened the door immediately,
and then
and
the
I was like,
cop,
weird.
The cop in the front right had his traffic cop fucking hat still on, so his hat just said traffic while he's and then he kept tripping over.
Everyone?
So somebody's pulling cable while, like, probably the camera cable. Yeah. Somebody's pulling the camera cable. And they keep pulling it right under this fucking cop's foot to the point he finally, like, gets off camera a little bit. And they're, like, trying to, like, keep him in it by filming sideways.
The guy directs him to the other side, don't they?
Dude, it was all fucking weird. And then they came out the side of the arena.
When they're
walk
supposed
over,
to be, when they're
while
supposed
they're supposed
to be
ushering
them to the
them,
ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did they come out from the side?
They walk them all the way to the fucking gorilla, and then also when they go to the arena part, the cops are coming out the side.
I'm like, why? What?
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
It confused me.
So
they swerved
like,
me
no,
on the
you...
entrance.
Bro, I got the perfect swerve. We're going to send the cops on the right side, but we just showed them going to the middle. No, bro. People will not expect this, bro. It's a surprise traffic cop from the right fucking side. This is fucking holy shit. Vince McMahon would never allow that shit. Like
that motherfucker would have been fired. You'd be seeing tomorrow.
Oh my god.
WWE has
so while Goldberg's coming out with his fucking police escorts, he gets attacked. Good
by the outsiders
and the police. We've seen them come into the arena, so the police should be around them. This is why the guy has fucking escort security.
Yeah, it's eight people with nobody.
Where the did they fuck?
They just left like Mysterio.
Yeah,
where did they?
They didn't fucking do.
They were like Randy Orton with the refrigerator tonight. They just disappeared. Like, where the fuck did they go?
Maybe they weren't even walking with Goldberg. He just happened to come in the middle of their fucking their school of fish. While he just like hopped in the middle, they kept going. They went through the crowd back at, you know, up through the
they
arena.
Went back to their normal jobs.
Bro, he's like, yeah,
they're like, bro, we only paid for 5 minutes, bro. He's,
the one cop's like, yo, I really gotta get back out front and direct these people in. Like, there's probably a traffic jam out there now. Like, that was fucked up. This is one of those things where I was like, okay, so Colbert gets his ass beat in the entrance by the Outsiders. And this is, so I was actually surprised the Outsiders were still on the show. I didn't even, I thought they were fucking at home just getting paid to sit at home by this point. You know, I didn't
I
even
thought
know
one already
there.
Was fired by this point. I thought Scott Hall was already
no,
done
he
with
worked
the
there all the way pretty much to the end, but I don't know if this was pre or post the like drunk angle when he was coming to the ring drunk.
Yeah,
all the
that's
time.
What I'm saying. I didn't know.
Sid's just awful, but they
dude,
this
some of his faces he makes during
but,
that match
yeah, I was
with
about
the
to say,
bloody
he
sells
stuff
so
great.
Good.
And there was one thing I want to say at the opening of the match. Okay, they do a bunch of fucking shit I should see on Botchamania. His ghost fucking head slaps to the stairs. Like, the stairs are set up and fucking
Sid.
I could stick a fucking railroad tie in the space between Sid's forehead and the stairs when he was fucking pretending to hit him. That shit was terrible. But as soon as the cut got open on Sid, that fucking dude started bumping around like he was Ric Flair in 1980.
Right?
Like, he's doing backward somersault bumps and flipping around and just
that's
doing all kinds of crazy shit. As soon as he started bleeding.
Dude, he was a very agile big guy.
Yeah.
Like, to look the, back, like, the you opening gotta give of, him his credit,
the opening
dude.
Of the match, he was phantom hitting and doing really bad, but then as soon as that cut opened up,
as soon
up,
as that blood got a flowing,
that
dude,
motherfucker started he was bumping around dude. That. He looked like Ric Flair. Strut, and, that turned Goldberg and Sid into Ric Flair Steamboat from 88.
Dude, all fucking Sid was missing with the woos and the fucking whole fucking strut that he does,
so,
dude.
They go back and forth for a while, but then
the end was a bad finish.
Dude. And then Goldberg,
that's all I'm saying.
Goldberg just keeps beating him up. Sid keeps standing. Goldberg hits him with like a spear, and Sid stands right back up. Sid's like no selling shit. He's punching him, and Sid's like falling and getting back up. And then finally, like, Goldberg kept looking back at the referee like, really, you're gonna let me keep beating him up? Like, look at this dude. Throws him back down, keeps punching him in the face some more. And then I loved watching Goldberg work a rest hold. Like, he fucking put him in a headlock and then just started like bending it, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as he put him in the headlock, the whole crowd was just like boring. So he started like bending his head and elbowing him and shit, but it was just, yeah, then he starts bleeding him really bad.
They had some awkward moments.
Goldberg keeps looking back at the referee to, like, you really going to let this keep continuing? And then finally, like, he punches him one more time, and then the ref just steps between him and just starts waving like it's over.
It was a bad finish.
And then Sid's like, what? And Goldberg's, like, acting like he didn't want the win because he won the U.S. title through that, so he became the new U.S. champion in this match. That's how little importance the titles had. I didn't even remember that it was a title match, so I just said that now. So he wins the U.S. title, and he didn't even like want to take it from the ref and shit. Like, it was, they were trying to play that all like honor thing up, and the whole thing was weird, and it got cut off way too fast right into the next segment. So you don't even know what the fuck happened.
What had me dying, though, was when Sid was leaving and Rick Steiner helped him to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how he started coming back to the back? There was that one guy in the crowd just kept going, just go back. It's finished, Sid.
Oh,
it's
finished. Yeah, when Sid.
And he just looked at him and Sid, then just turned
Rick
around
Steiner
and was
came
like, okay.
And helped him. Yeah. Yeah, Sid like started turning around like, ooh, I'm gonna go back, and then it was that whole thing, dude. Let's keep moving.
Then it
along.
Led to Sting coming down saying he didn't
not
want
even
it.
There yet. We went to a video package of
Flair
and Kimberly. It was the whole thing that David Kim and DDP talked about. So they had invited David over to
Kimberly.
Kimberly invited David over so
pre
they could,
Lana.
Pre-Lana, fucking yeah,
Enzo. This is pre-Wood.
Yeah, the boner that changed this podcast. Fucking, so they invited him over, and that was the whole ruse. They were gonna smash him on their way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, they. And then Ric Flair comes
Mr.
busting
Jeff
out.
Came out himself.
Yeah, and he's like, "Woo, Kimberly, I've been waiting to get you for a long time." Woo, and apparently spanked her 14 times. They didn't show that part, but so
you got to remember how, dude, he can make you laugh in a second.
Yeah, Ric Flair was
promos,
great here,
dude. Classic. Anything he said,
I liked Ric Flair then. Like when I was a kid, like the only time you'd turn on WCW would be like, oh, well, they got Ric Flair doing this. Even when they buried his ass out in the desert and he showed up on TV the next day, it was like, okay, they're burying Ric Flair in the desert this week.
So
it
can be...
It's like I always paid attention to what Ric Flair was doing through this stuff, you know what I mean? And,
yeah, he could turn a shitty thing into gold.
That says a
that's
lot.
Why he was in Five Angles this night.
That says a lot from a kid. Yeah.
Think about it. That's why he was in Five Angles that night, because anything he did
give
was
it,
gold.
Give it to Russo, because Eric Bischoff fucking 3 years earlier was like, who's Ric Flair? What has he done? Russo comes in and puts Ric Flair in Five Angles to sell
this
pay-per-view.
Yeah, this is what we have right
let's
here
make
for.
Hogan job in 3 seconds and leave, and we're going to put Ric Flair in Five Angles.
Let's have the real champion.
So let's applaud one thing for Vince Russo right there, because
yes,
thank you Vince Russo, because
for giving Hogan the greatest match ever
and at least trying to do shit with Ric Flair, even though 99% of it was fucking awful. Burying him in the desert and shit, like, yeah, this is all bad. But you at least tried to do something with him instead of kicking him off TV like fucking
a dumbass
like fucking Eric Bischoff did. So okay. That's when Sting came out. Has a booger in his nose. And the booger is painted white. It's just like, oh my God.
You just wanted to pick it for him?
So he came. Yeah, I kept like checking my own nose. Like, so if I had a booger shining right here, it'd be sticking right at that point, like where Sting's booger is. So anyway, and he's just basically said that like he's ready for a fight.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
He came there for the fight. So
he wasn't
so
here
now,
for a squash.
This
match.
Is like our third match booked for later in the night during the night of the show. You know what I mean? So
that was
another match.
Once again,
Shoehorn. Yeah, they shoehorned this fucking match.
This should have been last week because everything was shoehorned last week.
Yeah, shoehorning this. We got two more matches to get through. and then this is when we finally got DDP versus Flair,
which was very entertaining.
Yeah, I liked it. Flair, it was kind of a classic strap match for Flair. He gets opened up in it, right? He was bleeding.
No,
wasn't
Ric
it?
Flair never bleeds during a strap match. this isn't fucking 2017,
so,
Sean.
DDP's music was about the only one I noticed overdubbed because we all remember the stealth high five with the Nirvana ripoff because it's so close to Smells Like Teen Spirit, and Dave Grohl has actually like gone out and said like that was fucked up, but like how much it sounds. So WWE probably just on just keeping their fucking, because it was so funny
it just
hearing
had me, like,
yeah, but it, at the same time it was so funny hearing Perry Saturn's music that was like, and you're going, the beautiful people, like the whole time, right? He's going to the ring, but it was that much enough, and Marilyn Manson has probably never threatened lawsuits against WWE, you know what I mean, and Dave Grohl has, so they fucking probably.
Is he another Lars?
Lars, he once paid. If you're going to copy his
God
music
damn it,
enough.
Dave Grohl, you have enough money.
If you're going to copy his music enough, he once paid for it. So
you have enough money.
Anyway, yeah, self high five, not
give
happening.
Give DDP his self high five.
And then they also, this is when Tony.
It's not like it's selling millions of fucking ringtones these days.
This is when Tony Schiavone was like, all right, fans, I got to give you a heads up. Okay, traditionally strap matches would be where you touch the four posts. This strap match isn't going to be traditional. It's pinfall or submission. The only thing different is there's going to be a strap to keep them at bay.
It was pretty much a street fight.
And so I like the idea of a strap match being pinfall or submission, but I could hear the conversation. Like, as soon as he said that, I was like, I just turned into Vince Russo going, bro, nobody understands that bullshit. Bro, just wrestling matches end in pinfalls, not touching stuff. Bro. The same tap football, bro.
Touching people.
He likes when guys, I mean, he likes to write stuff about guys touching each other, yeah.
But he don't want to write them.
He don't want them
posts.
Touching posts. He wants them touching.
He
each
wants
other.
Them touching each other's posts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So pinfall or submission? They battle around the arena.
See, watching this pay per view, he's slowly coming out of the closet to me.
They basically battle all over the arena, into the crowd.
Which is fun.
The strap gets all covered in beer, which made it for really loud slaps later on. And then they end up battling back to the ringside where fucking Flair just starts molesting Kimberly. So Flair, this is second woman Flair has molested
Flair,
in the night.
Two hotties in one night.
Yeah, but they didn't ask for it.
Hell no, he didn't. He was like, baby, come here. Daddy got something for you. It's fucked up, dude. See, he was doing Bill Cosby things.
Yeah, I was about to say, he was rape culture before rape culture was cool.
Yeah, like
God. Schiavone starts like selling like that this match is brutal and it's what the powers to be want, and that this is wrestling like this is wrestling we've never seen before. This is WCW.
Dude, the moment I seen,
I was like, what?
I'm glad you said that, because the moment he said that, I was like, what about fucking Kevin Sullivan and Chris Benoit in the bathroom? That was more brutal than fucking this. And that's WCW.
But so,
think about it.
Yeah, the powers that be want these bloody, which, so it kind of like, it's like, okay, so what's going on in the ring right now is fake or what? Like, the powers that be wanted a bloody match. It's, I mean, you can work it both ways. Like, they want a bloody match, so they got a strap match. But the way they sold it made it sound like they booked it to be, like, they're booking, they're writing fucking
like that
violence, yeah. You know what I mean, shit and molestation,
they're about rape culture.
And then I don't know how you thought about this, but
the end with David Robinson,
before that I thought this was a straight up botched ending. Like, it looked like Rick was either supposed to put his foot on the rope and didn't.
He was too far away from it.
Yeah, because he starts stretching his foot and then his foot drops, so he missed it. And then Charles Robinson
only does two. Ring the bell.
Yeah, he only does two, and Rick was supposed to kick out. Rick didn't, so Charles Robinson was like, well, I can't fucking take the, you know what I mean? I can't look stupid.
And he just was like, ring the bell. It was awkward.
He just started going, ring the bell, because he'd never counted three, but Rick never counted out or kicked out or put his foot on the rope. So,
but it makes me wonder.
I wonder if Rick forgot what he was doing again, since it was his sixth or seventh angle that night so far. So, but what were you going to say?
I was wondering, because after that, when he hits Charles Robinson with
DDP does.
Yeah, he hits him with the diamond cutter.
DDP,
if that was planned, because I was about to say
DDP plays it off well. The thing happens, he grabs him, and this is another reason why I think this was a shoot. Like, because it looked like DDP grabs him kind of like, well, what the fuck? And Charles Robinson is just like, I don't know, diamond cutter. And he just grabs him and
that's
fucking
what I'm saying,
cuts him.
If he just
but at the same time, he hits everybody with the cutter. So I don't know if he just started going, I'm going to...
Diamond cutter you.
Or if the people at Gorilla Position was like, go out there, just tell him cutter. Go out there and tell him cutter. Because, you know what I mean, everybody started shooting to the ring.
Yeah.
And so Filthy Animals came out and started beating Rick with the crowbar. They hit
Page
him.
Page shatters his nuts.
He hits him right in the nuts with it. Yeah. So they come out with a crowbar, and Page just hits all the Filthy Animals with diamond cutters and grabs the crowbar.
One thing I can say is David Flair took one of the most awfulest looking diamond cutters when he first got in the ring right after.
He was not a wrestler. He wasn't good.
Do you see the first diamond cutter he takes? I'm like, ouch, my neck is broken. Then he takes the second one perfectly, but the first one he takes, I'm like, goddamn,
it's like,
son.
Here's the practice run.
I'm like, goddamn, son, you just had a broken neck.
That was the practice run, dude. Man, yeah, it was next level, dude. I don't even know what to say about this shit.
And then they go to the next match, Sting and Goldberg. Originally,
originally
they say it's a title match, and you know, then Shivani's like,
you're cutting out a part. You're
what's
cutting out a part.
That?
So they start wheeling Flair out to the ambulance.
Oh, the ambulance. I forgot about
and
that.
And then fucking, and while they're about to put him in the ambulance, the Filthy Animals attack
him again, yeah.
And then, so the Filthy Animals hijacked the fucking ambulance and took it. I think this might have been when they buried him
in the desert.
The next night, they might have taken the ambulance to Raw, or I mean Nitro.
To Raw.
They should have been a
Raw.
I was about to say, all of them should have. Of taking their asses to Raw, gotten the fuck out of WCW. But
everyone in the ambulance to the fucking north.
Everybody want to go north, yeah. who wants to go to Connecticut?
Everyone to Connecticut.
Oh man, so they do this shit. Oh my god. So then they cut back to the ring.
I wonder if the bearing of Ric Flair in the desert was a metaphor of burying Rusev. I call him Rusev.
Rusev. They are burying Rusev, too. This is a burial of everybody.
Oh,
this
Rusev,
like a
yeah, I forgot about it.
So, all right, so then they cut back to the arena. Sting comes out, and then they're like, okay, who's going to answer the challenge? Who's going to answer the challenge? Then fucking Goldberg's music comes out.
With no police escorts.
And completely fine after his match and getting attacked. Like, he got beat down in the fucking thing.
Charles and Robinson was the ref.
This is the best part. You're cutting out a whole part. So the fucking bell rings, and Sting just fucking hops out the ring, and he yells to the commentary table, whoever's sitting over there, probably like David Pinzer, whoever is the announcer, and was like, he's like, there's no referee. Like, you're ringing the bell and starting a match. There's no fucking referee in the ring. Like, so Sting just starts walking around, that which good on him, like, that he was thinking. Smart. He's like, he's the like, there ain't no fucking wrestler. Referee. So you know somebody in the gorilla had to be like, there's no referee. There's Charles Robinson. Go back. Like,
and he's like, I just took a diamond cutter.
Which is so funny because he's fine so and dandy. The commentators, fucking Heenan and Schiavone, are sitting there going, well, you know it's not going to be Charles Robinson. And as soon as that fucking comes out of Heenan's mouth, he comes fucking beeline into the ring like, well, nothing's wrong, okay. Fixing his fucking collar, and Heenan's just like, wow, miraculous recovery, huh? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was dying.
Literally, the moment he's saying it's not gonna be Robinson comes fucking flying out. I was like, I'm just sitting there with my head in my hands, just like, what the fuck?
They didn't even know if it was a title match or a non-title match.
That's another thing. So Schiavone keeps calling it a title match through the whole thing, and then
announce it a non-title match.
Well, he keeps calling it a title match, and then he gets told in his ear.
Prior to it.
And then at the very beginning, he says it again, here, this title match, and then you hear him go, it's not a title match? Well, thanks for telling me, guys. Okay, well, I'm finding out now that this is non-title, folks. The title will not be on the line. And then we get the match, which was a pretty solid match, almost identical to fucking Brock Goldberg at WrestleMania. 3 minutes perfect. Like, I was like sitting there like, holy shit. Did somebody,
we just see this match a couple weeks ago?
Whoever, Arn Anderson, you know, put together Goldberg and Brock because he was watching Goldberg and fucking Sting and at Halloween Havoc 99.
Probably put together that match.
So Sting actually hit a spear in the match.
Goldberg's no sells.
And Goldberg, popped right up, and it looked like Sting was just kind of like, you dick. Like, come on, man. So Sting
really
then,
this how we're gonna go.
Sting hits him with a cup, which is so it's like, man, Goldberg got beat down fucking and then no sold that during his whole match. It was like why have him get beat down in the aisle way? Because on Monday night, they had said, we're looking for him or whatever. Well, why have that fucking dude get beat down if you're not even going to act like it fucking hurt? You know what I mean?
I know. I was,
so you have this fucking cat get beat down. And then for the next hour, he does six more things because everybody's in six fucking angles this night, dude.
It was very confusing.
Holy shit, I wanted to blow my brains out watching this program. But it was still better than watching Raw or SmackDown this week. So anyway, after Schiavone says 100 times it's not a title match, hold up, I skipped a part. So he hits him with the spear, and then Sting hits a couple more Stinger splashes. Goldberg fucking backs up, and then, well, I mean, he doesn't back up. He gets back up. Hits the fucking spear on Sting.
And the jackknife.
Jackhammer. It's over.
Jackknife.
Jackknife, powerbomb, jackhammer. The match is over. And then they fucking
Robinson gives them the
belt. And then Charles Robinson gives them the title.
After they said it's a non-title. Sting's like, what the fuck's my title?
And Schiavone doesn't. Dude, Schiavone just goes, what an unusual night. That's all I can say.
What the fuck just happened?
That's the fucking quote. He's just like, what an unusual night. That's all I can say. So then Sting, who just lost his title without knowing this title match or where the fuck, hits Charles Robinson with a reverse DDT, which I don't know if it was planned or not, or if Charles Robinson was just like, I don't know, I fucked up, reverse DDT. Like, because that could have been a total thing, too. Like, they could have been like, it's not a title match, it's not a title match, and not have told Charles Robinson. So then he fucking, the match is over, the champion just lost, here you go. You know what I mean? And he just handed the title over. It could have been, because the very next night on Nitro, they vacated the title and started a fucking 62-man tournament. For the title.
For March Madness?
That ended at the Mayhem pay-per-view in November or whatever the fuck that was. So
they screw Sting over to vacate the title. Goldberg just won instead of having Goldberg keep the title.
And then Goldberg gets beat down the next night on Nitro 2, so he's off TV. And then this is another thing that I wrote down, and this might be just a network thing, But he hits that reverse DDT. The fucking show just goes to black. There's no, we'll see you next time, fans. It's just over. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow night on Nitro, or what the hell just happened? We'll find out tomorrow, fans.
It's just,
none of that. Black screen, boom.
Done. Yeah, I noticed that. Nothing. I was like, weird.
Like, that's how bad their production was. They probably ran out of time.
What a fucking clusterfuck at the end. Because the Goldberg thing was actually pretty good for what it was. And then the whole title situation and end, I was like, what the
fuck? Holy shit.
I was like, so, I started going, bro.
Bro, let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
Bro.
We're going to have a clusterfuck at the end here, bro.
Oh, my God. I was like,
we're going to swerve everyone, bro.
I was vacant literally title.
We in control, bro.
So, like I was telling you, so the very next night on Nitro,
yeah, because you did a little
vacated the title.
You were a little diving into.
Yeah, so I watched the episode of Saturday Night leading up to it, and the thing they were promoting most.
You watched Saturday Night instead of the Nitro afterwards.
Yeah, I watched WCW Saturday. Are those Nitros on the network yet? The 99s?
Okay, they have every Nitro on now.
Really?
Every
one of them. For a long time, it was only up to like 96 and shit.
I told you they just added Nitro from 2000 to 2001, every one of them.
So the match on Saturday night, the night before the pay-per-view that they were fucking, that they were hyping the most was Hogan Sting, which was the least of...
Which was Hogan's greatest match.
Hogan's greatest match, but it was the least of a match on the card.
It was the was the Kane fucking Chavo match at WrestleMania.
So Sting,
which was not Chavo's best match ever.
So they declare that the match from what happens the next night on Nitro is they declare the match from Halloween Havoc a non-titled, non-sanctioned fight. And Goldberg is not the champion.
So why did Sting get stripped of the title?
See, I don't know if this is like a dusty finish or what the fuck they're doing. But so Sting, however, is stripped of the title for attacking Charles Robinson after the fight. But DDP goes completely unpunished for his assault one match earlier. Like, what the fuck?
And Ric Flair didn't get fined or suspended for molesting two women. So.
Oh, holy shit. So I really have no idea what happened with Hogan after this event. I don't know what...
It was his greatest match ever. What more can you say?
I don't know what the hell they were trying to do with Hogan.
Couple years later, he had Hogan's Snow's Best, and we know from there, you know what I'm saying? He went from the greatest match of his life to this.
Oh, my God. So, Derek, overall, let's give it a grade. We watched it.
I'm going to give you Twitter voters.
We watched it for everybody.
A motherfucking D.
This is why they wanted to vote that, though, is to hear me and you shit on it. You know what I mean?
All I'm saying is...
Nobody voted for that going, oh, that's an amazing event. I can't wait for them to talk about this wrestling. And I mean, everybody was like, oh, that's got to be a shit show. Let's make them watch
Let's
that.
Let's make it entertaining.
You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a shit show. I mean, all of these shows probably would have had their fair share of terrible...
I think the 80s wrestling would have been the best wrestling out of
this,
it all.
This poll was funny, too, because it was a fucking... It was a legit three-way tie for a minute.
I thought for a second we were going to end in a three-way, and we were going to have to do a three-way dance.
Well, the...
this was going to be the Halloween... night our podcast line was drawn. I thought it was going to be, bro.
Halloween Havoc was the first one that got to fucking... Whatever amount of votes it was, four votes or whatever it was, but
how many? Four?
That was the first one that had gotten to four. So when they all got to four votes, which is 12 total or whatever the fuck it was, when they all got to four,
you're like, someone be 13, please.
Well, that made Halloween Havoc 34% and the other two 33% because that one had reached that first.
Yeah.
So that one would already be the tiebreaker winner
because
it was.
It got first.
So then I started tweeting like all that morning, like, because Thursday at noon was when the voting ended, and I kept tweeting all morning like please break this tie for us, please. And of course two more votes came through and they're both for fucking Halloween Havoc. It's like, you fuck.
You were thinking, see, the moment I see like, Disco and Gambit
Yeah, Lash LaRue.
I was like, what the fuck am I going to get myself into this week?
Yeah,
because I know nothing from, because I stopped watching WCW probably the middle of 98.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm thinking
maybe even earlier.
When did the corporate ministry show up on Raw? That's when that's when I started watching.
Summer of 98.
That's when I started watching WWE way more. The moment corporate ministry happened, because it was
that
different.
Was still Russo booking all that shit.
Yeah, but it was good wrestling. They didn't have fucking shitty
corporate
wrestling.
Ministry might have actually not been till 99.
Because that's
when it was corporate.
That's when I started getting into when they got the
Ministry of Undertaker definitely turned into that style of Undertaker by the end of 97.
Yeah. Because I'm just catching.
Maybe I'll find the Ministry of Darkness fucking Monday Night Raw or something, and we'll go off
I'm
that.
I'm just getting into 1998 as we speak.
Maybe I'll pick some factions. I'll pick some factions for the vote and put that vote up tomorrow or something.
Yes, best factions. What faction would you like to talk about?
We could pick
we have the horse.
We could do like we'll do episodes though. We'll do like the episode of Monday Night Raw that the NXT that the Nexus debuted and attacked everybody at the end of it. You know, we could do that episode. We can do the episode.
We
that
should just do factions
Ministry,
in general.
Ministry of Darkness.
Not just a certain brand, factions in general.
Yeah, but we need shows to watch.
Yes, there's plenty of shows.
That's what I'm saying. So we could pick the show that the Nexus developed. We could pick the show that Ministry of Darkness developed.
What I'm saying. Which faction?
And another show. Well, we need a third poll topic.
I mean, there's tons of factions. When did all these factions debut? You got like Evolution.
That's what I'm saying. So we could
fucking the Oddities. Job Squad. I mean, Jesus, you got all kinds of factions you can dive into.
We could do the episode with the Oddities debut. I'll figure it out later.
You get what I'm saying? There's so many factions.
Yeah.
That debut.
So,
think about it.
I'll figure out the poll later. I'll keep factions in the mindset for what we're doing. And I don't know. Did you want to watch any other wrestling this week? You want to give a match of the week or anything like that before we get out of here?
I do not have a match of the week because I've been watching so much.
I basically put all my work into getting this shit done, watching this WCW show.
I pretty much watched this SmackDown Raw. I suffered through 205 Live again, which I said last week I wasn't going to do, but I stomached it again.
I watched it this week. It had Tozawa and Rich Swann in a tag match.
It was because it was leading up to the pay-per-view, so I wanted to see a little bit more build of the Austin Aries
match. I like Tozawa and Rich Swann together. I thought that was a cool fucking match. The rest of the show was whatever. It's wrestling.
They just need to get rid of 205.
So, yeah, that was that. Match of the week. Watch fucking Vince Russo's booking in Nitro the next night. That works for me. When I was watching that Saturday night, because you can literally just type in WCW Saturday night and whatever date you want.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much all on there.
I mean, you can just go to fucking WCW Saturday night, the fucking vault.
They don't have that on the network, Saturday night. I wish they did. They have
they don't have Saturday Night?
No, they have the old WCW program.
They have WCCW from
the 80s. WCCW, that's World Class. That's Dallas Wrestling. But they have the old NWA World Championship Wrestling program.
They do have WCCW.
And that was aired Saturday at 6:05. That's the same show. That's just
older.
Yeah, 10 years earlier, 10, 15 years earlier. So, yeah, so I was just watching fucking like I was telling you before, these people named like Johnny Attitude versus like Scotty Riggs and shit like this.
I'm watching
the one match. Check this
ECW,
out,
brother.
This shit was cool as hell. It was David Flair.
David Flair?
No, not David Flair.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, he didn't wrestle that early.
Who
did
the
he?
Fuck was it? It was like 1999, and it was fucking Arn Anderson. And this is after he retired, and he like
still
legitimately
wrestling.
He legitimately wasn't supposed to take any fucking punishment, or
and
it could break
still,
his neck
and
kill
still
him.
Taking bumps.
He didn't take any bumps, but he did fucking like take he did take a couple like hits and shit, and then also. He's not supposed to use his like right hand, and he was like grabbing throwing fists with his right hand and like grabbing people and body slamming, and he did the classic AA spinebuster, and it was on a WCW Saturday night match in 1999. Like, if you're gonna have Arn Anderson doing moves and shit, and
why not on Nitro?
And he could die from it. Yeah, why wasn't that on Halloween Havoc 1999? You know what I mean? Like, why what the fuck are you,
bro? You're not listening, bro. Like, it's Arn Anderson. What did he do for the business, yeah, bro? Yeah,
but do it in... You're doing it on WCW Saturday
Once
night.
Once again, like, he's nobody. On Saturday because he did nothing for the business, bro. Oh,
man. I'll have to find out what event that was from, but I watched that. How many more times was he
Ric Flair on Saturdays during the Eric Bischoff time?
Bro, I don't know, but this podcast has gone too long, so let's get out of here.
Okay, bro.
And Zagarian, we're bro.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.